It would be a very strange thing to do, would it not, to go into a traditional art gallery and then to spend all of one's time and energy examining and commenting on, not the paintings, but the frames around the paintings. And you might think, when you look at today's lectionary reading, that the lectionary is asking us to do something similar, but from a biblical point of view. It's Mark 6, 30 to 35, and then 53 to 56. And it's all the stranger when you actually look at what has actually been cut out. And I don't know about you, if I see a lectionary reading like this, I always want to know, and what have they missed out? But what they've missed out are two stories, the feeding of the 5,000 and the story of Jesus walking on the water. Two of the key miracle stories that the Gospels give us. Surely if we were to make a list of the well-known stories of miracles of Jesus, amongst the most iconic and amongst the most memorable are those two stories. And they've been cut out of today's reading. And so we're just left, if you like, with the frame. And if you look at the frame that Mark gives us, the frame actually, the events going on, do seem very everyday and ordinary, about the more mundane side to the life of Jesus and his disciples. It's certainly lively, it's a busy set of stories, there's an awful lot going on, but it's very much from that ordinary everyday experience. And even when it mentions healings, we get that impression, as we sometimes do in the Gospels, that even these healings are just the kind of ordinary things we expect Jesus to do as he goes around. Nothing special going on here. But perhaps we could then take the lead that the lectionary gives us and to focus on this frame that surrounds those two iconic miracle stories and to see, even in the frame, what pictures Mark is giving us. What's he trying to communicate through that framework of pictures and how they're joined together? And let's take each of the pictures in turn and ask what might be important in that picture, and in particular to ask what I think is always a good question to ask when we're looking at the Gospels, and what is the picture of Jesus that it gives us? So let's go through in order. First of all, Mark 6:30, the first picture. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. And I hope in your imaginations that you can create that picture for yourself in your imagination. A picture of Jesus in a tight group of disciples, Jesus at the centre, and the disciples excitedly, but as we will discover, wearily as well, telling Jesus about what they have been up to. Because this, of course, is the Mark telling us that the disciples have returned from that mission when Jesus sent them out two by two, without bag, without belt, without spare shirt. And they're telling the stories of what's happened during that time. So just bring that picture of Jesus into your imagination. What kind of picture is it? How is it showing us Jesus? And the word I would use is this is a nurturing picture. Jesus nurturing the disciples in their own discipleship. And so the frame moves on. Mark 6:31 to 34. Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them." So just staying with the picture of Jesus here. What's the picture of Jesus? Well, here Jesus and the disciples, of course, are on the move. And in the picture in my mind, they are, of course, moving away from the crowd. They're moving away from the pressures of life. They're disappearing off into the distance. If we want to name this story, what is the picture of Jesus we get here? It is, I think, a contemplative picture. Jesus going on retreat, we might say, in our own age. Picture number three, Mark 6, 34. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. What's the picture of Jesus? Jesus, looking from afar at the assembled crowd that he's approaching. Jesus, looking from afar and passing judgment. Judgment we often use in a negative sense, but this is compassionate judgment. It's judgment nonetheless. They are like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus is looking, it seems to me, with the penetrating gaze that we would associate with the prophets, particularly the Old Testament. We could call this a prophetic picture of Jesus. Jesus looks on from afar and sees the truth of what he sees. And picture four, the last part of verse 34. And he began to teach them many things. You see how different a picture this is. Jesus is no longer looking on from a distance and making his judgment. Now he's in front of the crowd in teaching mode. Mark rarely tells us what Jesus actually teaches, but I think we can assume here this will be Jesus centered on the good news, otherwise announced. And so I think you could very comfortably call this an evangelical picture of Jesus, evangelical of the gospel, the good news. And our fifth and final picture is after the cut in the story, the other part of the frame, as it were, verses 53 to 56, when we've jumped over those two great miracle stories. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized Jesus and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Another distinctive picture of Jesus. Jesus moving around in the midst of the hustle and bustle of the community, back in the centre, as it were. But now it's not teaching or nurturing, but healing that is the draw. And so we have this picture of a community reaching out towards Jesus in their need in order to touch him, or to touch the tassels of his prayer shawl, we might suppose, all in their need for healing. Now this, of course, is a pastoral picture. So we have five pictures of Jesus. Perhaps you've spotted others, but those are the five that I spot. Jesus appears differently in relation to those around him. They come after each other in quick and breathless succession, and we often get that impression in Mark's Gospel. So I've named those pictures of Jesus as nurturing, contemplative, prophetic, evangelical, pastoral. It is, of course, no coincidence that those five words that I've used to describe Jesus are also words that we would readily use to describe the church. Or maybe to describe different kinds of churches. Or maybe to describe one church, but at different times in its life. There's no surprise here, of course, because the church seeks to be the body of Christ, the followers of Christ, of Jesus, and even, one might say, the imitators of Jesus. To be drawn into and to live out these pictures of Jesus that we see in the Gospels. And so here are three things I think we can take away. First of all, I wonder which of these pictures that this framework gives us comes closest to our experience of church, our experience of St. Andrew's United Reformed Church in Sheffield at the moment. Do we experience it as a nurturing community, or as a contemplative community, or as a prophetic community, or as an evangelical community, or as a pastoral community. And whichever it might be, or whichever combination of those it might be, this set of pictures, all joined together by Mark, remind us that each is an authentic expression of Jesus' life and ministry. The second thing is, we might be reminded that we should avoid the danger of being too narrow in our ideas of what Jesus was like in his earthly ministry, and therefore what the church should be like in our own age. There is never only one picture of Jesus in the Gospels, so there should never only be one model of what the church should be like. And more than that, if we're actually true to this picture that Mark gives us, this frame that Mark gives us, we know that we need each other in order to get the whole of the frame, in order to get the whole of the picture. We need each other. And the final point, and the final challenge, I think, of this, is that as we experience the movement and drama of Mark's telling of the life of Jesus in this drawing of this frame that itself is full of these different pictures, we could be encouraged to think about how we might change and experience different aspects of the church's expression of the life of Jesus. After all, it's one of the joys, as well as one of the challenges of Christian discipleship, that we are not meant to stay in one place with Jesus, or to see the world only from one perspective as we seek to stand with Jesus. Mark tells us Jesus is always on the move. Jesus is always moving on, and so should we.